Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Stars podcast, and happy Sunday to everyone out there listening, downloading, tuning in. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying safe. I'm Josh Clark, the Dallas correspondent at NHL.com, joined by my co-host, Kenneth Nash, the site expert over at NolanWrighton.com, and a special guest today. That's right, DallasStars.com senior staff writer Mike Hyka joining the show. And Hikes, I think at some point, Kenneth and I need to try and get you on the Locked On payroll, just with how generous you've been joining the show so many times over the past few months.
I love it. You know that. It's just sitting around talking hockey, you don't need to get paid to do that. It's pretty fun.
Exactly. We could be roofing houses, right, Mike?
I always say that, don't I?
You do. You do. And it always, it's a good reminder for me whenever it's like maybe a tough day or a work heavy day, you always, that comes to mind. And I'm like, you know, I'm actually in a really good spot right now. I enjoy what I do. And that's what we're here for.
Yeah. And it's funny, I mean, you're whatever, 22, 23?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Gosh,
how
old I feel
you,
old.
Josh?
23. I'm 23 now. 20. Kenneth and I are both 23.
Yeah. And I'm 59. So you can do this your whole life and have fun the whole time. And that's a pretty cool thing.
Well, if I can be you, Mike, in a couple years, I will be pretty happy with where life is. But at this point, it's an exciting day. This is a different day for Kenneth and I, rather. We don't usually record on Sundays, but it's a big reason to Dallas Stars and Vegas Golden Knights opening up Western Conference final play tonight on NBC, 7 p.m. Central Time puck drop. And this is a big moment for the Stars. Obviously, we've known that since Friday when they knocked off the Colorado Avalanche in Game 7 of the second round. But Mike, we wanted to talk to you because obviously you've been covering the team, I'm pretty sure, just about as long, if not longer, than everybody that currently covers the team. And so wanted to hear your insight, hear your thoughts just on what happened Friday, how monumental that win was, and just how crazy and chaotic that win was and unexpected for this Dallas Stars team that's been building and looking for a big win like that for the past couple years.
Yeah, it's actually the perfect example of what this season's been. I mean, you know, you come in at 1-7-1. You recover to have, you know, basically what, a month, 2 months as one of the best teams in the NHL. You fire your coach. Then you got to start over again. You go to a Winter Classic. You pay before 85,000 people. Now you're playing for zero people. I mean, that's the way the season has gone. So why wouldn't you have one of the NHL's top Ironmen miss the game and Joel Kiviranta steps in for Andrew Cogliano and has a hat-trick? I mean, that's what this season has been. And the funny thing is, the great thing and the sad thing is, these are some of the most entertaining and exciting games I've watched in franchise history, and yet nobody gets to see them in person. So,
yeah,
you know, you just got to take what you get and be happy about it. But there's just so many weird discussions you can have off this whole season and then the whole playoffs.
Yeah, it's funny because one of my friends who's a Stars fan was texting me the other day saying, I think, you know, this might be the year that this team really looks like they could go the distance. And I'm like, wouldn't it be something if after 21 years, the Dallas Stars win their first Stanley Cup since 99, and they do it in front of no fans and probably not going to be able to have a parade, at least not right now, if they win. And just all the elements of winning a championship that can't be fully enjoyed by Dallas Stars fans. But as you said, Hyka, they always say to expect the unexpected, and the Dallas Stars are the true embodiment of that throughout the 2019-2020 season. And even now, you know, 52 weeks ago, they started training camp in Frisco, and now here we are in the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, four wins away from a Stanley Cup final berth. And so, Hyka, now the focus, of course, shifts. Joel Kiviranta playing Game 7 hero. Now the script is new. The slate is fresh. Game 1 against the Vegas Golden Knights tonight on NBC. And this really seems like it could be one of the most entertaining series, not only for the Dallas Stars and Vegas Golden Knights in a while, but one of the most entertaining series in the Western Conference playoffs in a while, because this is two veteran loaded teams that have been, you know, building towards this, that have been expected to, you know, reach this far in the playoffs for the past few years. They've been building towards this, and it really seems like this is the year that chasing greatness has taken to a new level for both clubs, and that just seems to make the series all the more exciting.
Yeah, and I personally think Vegas is the best team in the league. I just like everything about them. The fact they added Robin Lehner at the trade deadline, you know, that was the, you know, missing piece. The fact that they, after getting to the Stanley Cup Finals in their expansion year, they didn't rest. I think they moved out six or seven key pieces, brought in players like Stone, Stastny, Lehner, you know, a new coach, you know, so they haven't been like, they are hungry to win it all. Which I think is funny for an expansion team, you know, but they really are. Like, when they got that first taste of it, they're like, we're going to win it all. And so I personally think if I were to bet on any team, it would be that team. But that being said, the Stars are, you know, they're the wild card. You just have no idea who is going to sneak up and play great for them. You know, we can go back. Like I said, there's 100 discussions you can have. You can go back and say, what happens if they, you know, continue to play well and Tyler Seguin starts to get hot? You know, then what kind of team are they? What happens if Ben Bishop gets healthy and now you have two goalies and you can make a choice every game? You know, they have the ability to actually be better than they've been. Now, you know, that's crossing your fingers and everything, but what happens if they actually get better?
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing. But Kenneth, I know you have a question. I know you're waiting. Look at me just hogging all the time with Heike.
I'm used to it, Josh.
Well, I haven't seen me and Heike haven't been able to, you know, sit in the media room at morning skates like usual in a couple months. And so you got to take this time and use it as best you can. But we're going to step aside real quick here at the Locked On Stars podcast. When we come back, plenty more chatter with Mike Heike of DallasStars.com on the Dallas Stars and Vegas Golden Knights Western Conference Finals Series starting tonight on NBC. Plenty more of that right around the corner when the Locked On Stars podcast continues in a moment. All right, guys, before we step aside, we have to talk about Built Bar. Yes, the ideal protein bar on the market right now. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. 18 amazing different flavors to choose from, including 6 new flavors like Caramel Brownie, Cherry Garcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, and Carrot Cake. Also, the 12 original flavors are back. As always, the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They look like a candy bar. They taste like a candy bar. And yet, they're healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy or girl, whether you're looking to lose weight, maintain weight, or simply fill that 3 p.m. void when you need a snack. The bars are low-calorie. They're low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. They're also great for anybody that's on the keto diet. And right now, Built Bar is doing something special on their website. They're running a special for all Locked On listeners. You can go and get a free cooler with any purchase while supplies last. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast. Happy Sunday to all of you out there. I'm Josh Clark, alongside Kenneth Nash, my co-host, and our special guest of the day, DallasStars.com senior staff writer Mike Heike. Hikes, with the series beginning tonight, Western Conference Finals between the Dallas Stars and Vegas Golden Knights, I wanted to ask really quick that maybe once this pandemic is over, or once we, you know, at least try and get back to as normal as we can, I wanted to ask, is there any chance that you and I could go to Vegas for a day? Because back in, I believe, early August, in a Hey Heike mailbag, somebody asked you where you think this Dallas Stars team was going to go in the playoffs. And you predicted, I think they get to the Western Conference Finals against none other than the Vegas Golden Knights. And so I'm not saying that you can read the future, but I'd really love it if you would just come and, you know, call out a few roulette numbers for me.
I got lucky on this one, so I'm not sure how good I'd be at roulette numbers. But yeah, sure. Let's go. Let's all. Kenneth, you're invited too. We're all going.
Let's go.
Yeah, we'll take the whole Stars media crew. We'll invite Sean and Matt too, right?
That's right.
Well, anyways, Kenneth, obviously, I know you've got a question. I know you're ready to fire it. Take the floor.
I've been waiting patiently. Yeah.
I know you have. I know. It's a big day.
We've talked a lot about on the pod over the past, really past couple of weeks, the first couple of series of this postseason, about how sustainable this kind of new style was for the Stars. I think we even talked about it with you, Mike, a little bit. And obviously, it's a very different brand of hockey we've seen, where the Stars, I believe, in all four games that they won in the Colorado series, they scored 5 goals in, which is just not a common thing we saw from this team. But one concern I have is, do you think there's a need to kind of get back to that defensive-minded hockey? Because when you look at this team and where they stand in the postseason right now, of all the teams that made it to the first round, out of the qualifying and out of the round robin to the first round, they've allowed the second most goals per game, trailing just Arizona. And so I'm curious, do you think that they need to shift back? Because I think they obviously got away with it against Colorado, but put them in a little bit of a risky spot a couple of times. But playing an experienced team like Vegas, do you think there needs to be a shift back to kind of what we know, what's tried and true, what they're good at? Or do you think they can continue to kind of ride this more, you know, heavy forecheck, just get shots on net and try to outscore your opponent if need be?
Of all the times for them to have that discussion, I think it's now. Vegas has the largest positive shot differential in the league. And so they, I think it's 37.1 to 24.7, something like that. But they have given up the fewest shots on goal of any team in the playoffs. I think they're third or fourth in shots on goal for themselves. So of all the times when this risky style could really backfire on the Stars, now is it, because Vegas is a control team. Vegas does want to get possession of the puck, and they want to, you know, hammer it into your zone. That being said, I kind of think the cat's out of the bag, and it'd be really hard to put it back in. I think players like John Klingberg would really see some negative, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like it would frustrate him to now try and go back to the other style of play. And he's been an important player in this, you know, guys like Radulov. I don't know that they can walk that line. You know, guys like Pavelski, I think Jamie actually is a really good defensive player too. Tyler's actually a good defensive player. They could probably do it if they needed to. But now you look at what Miro's doing and you look at numbers for guys like Gurianov and Pavelski, and you're like, you know, maybe it's worth all the risk. It's certainly fun to watch. I mean, as a fan, you don't want to go back that way. But yeah, I do understand exactly what you're saying. The other thing that's interesting about Vegas, at least when I've watched them in the past, is they're a really good counterattack team. And so you counterattack against teams that take too much risk and make too many mistakes. And the Stars are that team right now. They take a lot of risks. They make a lot of mistakes. And teams can counterattack against them. I think what they're going to try and do is, you know, it's a little bit of a hybrid, is that the forwards who are going back to protect the defensemen who are, you know, taking risks, those forwards have done a really good job of breaking things up. The Stars, as a group, when they're healthy, have a really good group of defensive forwards. You know, guys like Pavelski, guys like Janmark, Dickinson, Fox, Cogliano, Como, all those guys, when they rotate back, are almost like defensemen. So in that regard, when teams are making their counterattacks, the Stars are finding ways to break it up. So I agree. I think it's a discussion that you had to have yesterday and this morning. But if you ask what I think they're going to do, I think they're going to stick to it, and they're just going to keep going crazy, wild hockey, and fans, I think, will be appreciative for it.
Yeah, and we'll definitely see how that goes. Of course, I think it's funny how things have played out for the Stars this year, Mike, in terms of every round they seem to be drawing the better opponent, which you expect, but of course, with the unpredictability of the Stanley Cup playoffs, sometimes you draw what may be, you know, an 8 seed or whatever in the second round and get a potentially less threatening opponent. But it seems as though the Stars really are growing in terms of threats. And now Vegas, being that veteran team that's been there before, they've been to the Stanley Cup final in the past 2 years. Had it not been for, well, at least many people say, had it not been for that penalty on Cody Eakin in the first round against the San Jose Sharks in game 7 last year, Vegas may have made it out of that one alive. But this is a team that, as you said, can counterattack really well. Your predict or your guesses, I guess you could say, were spot on with that shot differential. And so it is a veteran loaded team, and they really are distributing the wealth really well. I think it's actually Shea Theodore and Mark Stone are the 2-point leaders with 16 and 15 in the 15 games. But besides that, you know, a lot of guys that are around 13, 10, 9. So really evenly distributing the wealth. But I wanted to ask you actually right quick about Shea Theodore and Miro Heiskanen, because these are those two young defensemen. I think the NHLPR account, even when they were promoting game one the other night, they used a picture of Heiskanen and Theodore, because obviously both are the point leaders for their team. Heiskanen with 21 and Theodore with 16 and 15 games for Vegas. But this could be one of the key matchups. Of course, these young blue liners that are in the back end that are so well and are so skilled in all three zones. How much of an impact do you think either of them can have in this series and really turning the momentum for their team in what should be a series that, you know, could potentially go the distance?
Yeah, I always look at the puck-carrying defenseman as like a point guard in basketball. They really do control the pace of the game. And so what has been great about Miro, and Rick, we'll talk about this, and Rick's coached defenseman his whole life, is that when there's a chance for the entire team to panic, Miro will come in there, and he usually puts them out on the ice as soon as, you know, the other team scores a goal or there's a high, you know, high tension situation. Miro will be on the ice, and he calms everybody down. And so as much as, yes, he's leading the team in scoring as well, but it's all these little things of him making sure that when this team needs to come back or when this team, you know, needs to not, you know, allow a 2-goal deficit to get to 3 goals, Miro Heiskanen is there. So for the Stars, I think, you know, fans can see that right up front and personally, that this is a guy who controls the pace of the team. Even though he's 21, he's the calmest guy on the ice. He's doing everything. Theodore's similar to that, but I think that Vegas has more depth support that can do some of the same things that Theodore does. So we'll see. I mean, it's great. I mean, I thought Makar was fantastic in the last game. And, you know, you had the discussion there of would you have taken Miro or would you have taken Makar, you know, if you had that choice, since they went 3-4 in the draft. So this will be a fun one, too. The sidebar to all this is I can't believe the Ducks gave him up. But he was having some trouble, you know, early in his career. And you look at it now and think, oh my goodness, that was a big mistake. But, you know, that's what happens when you get forced into tough decisions with the expansion draft. And Vegas took they made a lot of great choices in building their team.
Yeah, and it's obviously now showing with their second Western Conference Finals berth in the past 3 years. Plenty more coming up, previewing with Mike Hike of DallasStars.com. Dallas Stars versus Vegas Golden Knights, game one, Sunday night of the Western Conference Final. We'll talk more about it right around the corner when Locked On Stars podcast continues in a moment. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast on this Sunday afternoon, Josh Clark alongside my co-host Kenneth Nash and our special guest of the day, one of our favorite guests, senior staff writer Mike Hike of DallasStars.com. Mike, I know you kind of talked about it a little bit in the first block, but how have you been? We haven't had you on, I think, since the first round against Calgary, right before game one. Just how have you been the past month or so?
Excited and depressed all at the same time. it was funny. I don't know if you guys saw, I was at my nephew's house the other night, and Toronto was playing in the Clippers. And so then they had this, so, you know, the Clippers get the basket with 0.5 seconds left to go ahead. And, you know, looks like it's going to be over. And Toronto throws the ball from the sideline all the way over to the other sideline. The guy gets off a 3-pointer in half a second. So in 2 or 3 tenths of a second, and it goes in and they win. And I was just laughing out loud. I just thought it was hilarious. You're just like, that's sports. That is fantastic. And so then, of course, when Joel scores the hat trick to win you know, in overtime, same thing. I was laughing, just like, this is ridiculous. So the excitement of it all has been fantastic. But then you just think, I should be driving downtown, or I should be in Colorado,
yep,
or I should be in the arena enjoying all this. And it's, you know, like we talk about the vibe of 99 and 2000, and just driving to the rink for a morning skate was exciting because there were,
yeah,
car flags, everybody, and everybody's excited about the Stars. And so we're missing out on that. And it's really kind of depressing, but at the same point in time, I don't think you ever turn down, you know, an opportunity to watch this. You know, it doesn't matter if it's 2020 or not. If your team can get to the Western Conference Finals or get to the Stanley Cup Finals, it's a great year. And fans here have waited so long for it and been through so many upsetting situations that, you know, now that they get to watch this, I know you're only sitting at home. You don't even get to go to a sports bar. Or there's no communal feeling about it. I guess on Twitter there is, but I wish there was that. But at the same point in time, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned something interesting there. You talked about that the fans have kind of waited for this for quite a while. Josh and I talked a lot before game seven about how important that game seven felt for the franchise as a whole, for, from the top down, you know, front office, coaching staff, players, considering so many of these players were here last year and some even before that in previous playoff runs. And so I'm curious what your thoughts on this is. Obviously, you know, any of those players in that dressing room will tell you that the job isn't done. But do you think that this is kind of reaching the Western Conference Final in the manner they did, getting over that Game 7 hump in the second round, doing it in OT? Is there kind of a feeling of that was a hurdle in and of itself beyond just the game, but more for the franchise just to kind of take that next step in what's been kind of a really up and down period over the last few years?
Yeah, for guys like Ben and Sagan and Klingberg, definitely. For guys like Hintz and Kirianov and Haskinen, it's a fantastic step to where they can go. And all of that said, I'm sitting there before game seven going through all the scenarios of if they lose. And so as much as all this is a positive and a good thing, there's a real good chance Rick Bowness isn't your head coach next year. So now you've got to go find another head coach. And there's a really good chance Anton Khudobin's not on this team next year. So now the guy who carried you through the playoffs, you know, you either got to trust that Ben Bishop will be healthy and Jake Ottinger can take over, or you got to go find a different backup who might be willing to sign a one-year deal. So there's a lot of different interesting things that go on. This when I told, you know, Josh, when we were sitting there watching training camp in Frisco, and you're seeing the Robertsons and the Ottingers and the Harleys, and you're going like, you know what, I think they're all on the roster next year because of the fact that you know, this franchise can't make money off this, or it's not significant money. You're going to have to cut your payroll back. So it's a great discussion, to tell you the truth, because you look and say, this is really important to some really key people in this organization and making this franchise consistently a winner going forward. And at the same time, you got a lot of decisions to make in the offseason, whether you win the Stanley Cup or not. You know, it's funny. I think, I think the organization pushes all that stuff back and says, we'll have time to deal with that later. But I think as fans, we all juggle that stuff in our minds.
Yeah, we certainly do. And even, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of those young guys getting on the roster, because you have a lot of young guys that are up for that can either start being negotiated with, like Miro Haskinen, or guys that do need new contracts like Roope Hintz and Denis Kurianov, who were two of your best forwards throughout the regular season and even in the playoffs now. But it's interesting that you brought that up, that, you know, they can push it back now because they got over that hump. You saw the celebration of Jim Neal in the press box at Rogers Place. You saw Rick Bowness's celebration on the bench. And all the players, like you mentioned, that have been here since 2016 or 2019 that got over that Game 7 hump, they have a fresh set of games. They have another chance to punch their ticket even further. And that all begins on Sunday night against the Vegas Golden Knights, 7 p.m. Central Time. They also just released the conference final schedule while we were actually recording this. And as I read it, it's every other day the Stars and Vegas Golden Knights will be playing. But Mike, you know what we haven't talked about yet is, I think, one of the most intriguing storylines of this playoffs, and that's the creases of both teams. Now, obviously, this is an interesting situation for both sides, because the Dallas Stars goaltending has been one of the biggest stories for this team, because Ben Bishop has started two games. He's been unfit to play for all of the rest. Anton Hudobin has carried the load. He's been really big at certain times. He hasn't necessarily been 930 save percentage caliber, but he's certainly been a difference maker at key moments in the in both series. But then you go to the other side of the rink and you see arguably the best goalie tandem remaining in the playoffs right now, with Robin Lehner and Marc-Andre Fleury. And that shows in their statistics. Obviously, Lehner's played the majority of the games. It seemed as though Pete DeBoer has put all of his chips in Lehner's corner, saying this is the guy going forward, as most coaches do in the playoffs. But you look at their stats, Mike, and while the goals for are pretty similar with the Stars and Golden Knights in the playoffs, Golden Knights with a 3.27, Stars with a 3.31, the goals against, Vegas is the fourth lowest goals against average with a 2.33 per game. How much of an impact is going to be played by Robin Lehner and potentially Marc-Andre Fleury in this series? And how much do you think the Stars really need Ben Bishop to hopefully be healthy at some point in this series if they're going to need both goalies at their disposal? There's no back-to-back scheduled, but still, it seems as though having both goalies could really be a necessity in this series.
Yeah, and again, a lot of it will depend on how much scoring takes place. But I think the fact that if you have a goalie who, for whatever reason, just doesn't look good or doesn't look right, and Rick Bonus did that, you know, four or five times this season, where a guy gave up two or three goals early, and then they came back to win. And you know, if you can do that in just one of these games, it really could change the entire series. So if let's say you pull your number one goalie or your starting goalie, and then you replace him, and the guy who comes in gets you the win, that's just a huge swing. I mean, it's massive. And right now, I don't believe the Stars have that ability. I mean, we can sit there and say Thatcher Demko did it, and so maybe Jake Oettinger could too. But they're just not going to pull Anton Hudobin with Jake Oettinger on the bench. I just don't see that happening. Whereas Vegas can. And if Ben Bishop can get healthy and just, you know, be a backup even, I do think that makes a big difference. And then the other thing is that I really do like Anton Hudobin, and I really do think he's been very scrappy and very resilient. But to be able to put in a healthy Ben Bishop right now, I think it would be an upgrade. You know, Hudobin's been great, but Ben Bishop is one of the best goalies in the league when he's healthy. So if you could add that somehow, it would definitely help level the playing field, and at least, at the very least, give you the peace of mind that if one of your guys has a bad start, that you can go right to the backup after two or three goals, which I think would be, you know, important in hoping to get a comeback in that game. So, yeah, I think it's huge. One, the fact that, you know, this team is, you know, beat, you know, two or three not so great goalies or good goalies, let's just say, so far. And now they're going to be facing pretty much top level goalies. So that's going to be a difference for the goal scorers. And then on your own side, it would be nice, since you do have those two guys, to get them both healthy and be able to have the choice of who you want.
I know we're wrapping up a little bit here, and we just got a few minutes left. Before we do, though, I just want to get your thoughts on this series, kind of where the Stars can look to find an advantage in this series. Obviously, they were able to kind of out-depth Calgary and Colorado to a certain extent in the first two rounds, but that's going to be a little bit of a tougher ask against the Golden Knights, who are more of a veteran team, have production from a lot of different areas, and obviously you just touched on the goal, kind of the goaltending combinations that the two teams have right now, and you wouldn't normally think that the Stars would be disadvantaged, but their current situation, they are against a team like Vegas, who has Fleury and Lehner. I'm curious, though, where do you see the Stars kind of looking to try to get a foothold? Is it certain players? Is it a certain style? Obviously, they've shifted styles a little bit, but do you think there's an area, I guess, that the Stars can lean on that they can try to use to their advantage in this series?
One, I think they need to have a guy or two guys step up every game, and it's been different. And it doesn't, you know, that helps take the pressure off guys like Ben and Sagan. But Ben and Sagan have to have big games. And Joe Pavelski has to have a big game. And Radulov has to have a big game. And then Gurianov and Hintz and guys like that have to have big games as well. And then you also look at Dickinson hasn't scored and Cogliano hasn't scored and Janmark hasn't scored. And those are guys who have offensive ability who could really help you at a time like this. But to me, the one thing that has really caught fire and makes a difference in pretty much every series is the power play. And if they can continue to hit at this kind of pace, that those are the daggers that really, even a veteran team, when they take a penalty and then you go in and make them pay for it, it not only do you get the goal, but you also get them saying, okay, we can't take a penalty. Well, you know, that makes you a little bit more conservative in your play. It makes you a little bit more hesitant in going in for a big hit or in, you know, trying to make a stick check on a back check where you're trying to break up a play. You know, you're just a little bit slower because you're like, I can't take a penalty because they've already scored, you know, four or five power play goals in the series.
Yeah.
So that to me is a huge swing. If they can keep that going, and the irony is it's been the second unit, basically. You know, the first unit's got some key ones too, but I mean, it's Haskinen and Gurianov and Hintz and Perry and you know, that group has been really good. And if that group can continue to be good, I really do think it gives the Stars a chance to pull the upset, which I think they will have to do in this one. I think they will have to pull the upset.
Yeah, and it certainly seems, as we've said, you know, seems like a series that could go the distance. And obviously both teams coming off seven game sets in the second round and know how to get over that hump, now have the confidence to then get over that hump. And it really seems like a series that's going to go blow for blow here. But Heike, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask one more question, and it's about one of the most unique personalities on the Dallas Stars roster. And I wanted to ask you about the captain. I want to ask you about Jamie Benn for a minute, because of course, following game six, one of the main storylines was the Stars need more from their top line if they are going to get over the hump, if they're going to beat Colorado. Their top line just has to be better. No two ways about it. But at this point, Jamie Benn has 13 points in this postseason. He is overall in his career with Dallas, he's been the captain for all four playoff runs since 2014. And he's still almost a point per game player, which is amazing to think about. 48 games played, 43 points, and getting a couple points in the last game against Colorado. But Mike, how much of, obviously, Jamie Benn has built his legacy into quite a mystifying one with the Dallas Stars when you think about it over the past few years. Obviously, you had the Art Ross year, you had a 40-goal year. The last 2 years, it's been kind of a drop-off in terms of offensive production, but coaches still giving Benn a lot of credit, both Jim Montgomery and Rick Bonus, for doing a lot of the little things behind the scenes to help the team win. You see the videos that, you know, Jeff Totes will send that they put up on Dallas Stars Twitter of Benn being that rallying guy in the locker room, that really being that leader that everyone envisions him as and everyone expects him to be. But this series, this is his first time, obviously, in the Western Conference Finals. He made his NHL debut two seasons after the Western Conference Finals bid in 2008. But this series really seems like, obviously, the biggest series of his career. And he's made an impact. While we may not have noticed it as much as we have in past years, he's made an impact so far this year for the Stars in more ways than one. But with this series, it really feels like this could be the series that, if he takes over in terms of stats and in terms of points, this could be the one that really puts a stamp, a positive stamp on his legacy with the Dallas Stars. What are your thoughts on just Jamie Benn's play so far this year and just how much the series means for him?
It's interesting because we watched Brendan Morrow kind of wear down because he plays such a physical game. And I, my personal feeling was, as we were watching Jamie during the regular season, that he was going to go through the same thing, that he had played such a hard physical game for so many years that it's just starting to take its toll on him. But he's been, like, as you said, like the underlying analytical numbers, he's been really solid. You know, Tyler doesn't always get those numbers. He doesn't always get scoring opportunities or the, you know, the shots on goal or whatever it may be. And Jamie has been getting that stuff. And like I said, you know, he's a good back checker. He's a guy who leads a team and hits a lot of times. He'll block shots. I mean, it's just some strange stuff. So that's all good for him. And like you said, he also is like the stories you hear about him off the ice, whether that's going to Ben Bishop's house during the tornado or, you know, just helping a player out, helping a younger player out, just, you know, people saying so many positive things about what he does in the locker room. And that doesn't come across in the media because he's not the smoothest guy in the media.
And he was smiling the other day, though.
he was really good, actually. He got better as the series went on. But like, you're watching Landeskog or MacKinnon come out every single day and basically giving really good answers. And you're just like, gosh, I wish Jamie would do that. But it's just not his strength. It's not the area that he's best at. And so you just kind of say, you shrug and go, well, you know, hopefully there's guys like Joe Pavelski and other guys, Jason Dickinson, who and so, you know, everything that he's been doing, I think, has been positive. You're right. This is a great test for him. I would love to see him just go crazy and lead them into the Stanley Cup Finals. And I think it would be a huge deal. Josh, still there?
Oh, yep. I think we may have lost you for like the last 30 or 15 seconds there. If you could just repeat those last 15 seconds.
I was just saying that this is a great opportunity for him. And I agree with you. If he can lead them to the Stanley Cup Finals, it does change his legacy. And Rick even said that. Rick said, you know, game sevens, they can define your career. They can define your legacy. If Mike Modano hadn't won a Stanley Cup, I think people would look at him differently. So if he can, you know, if he can lead them in the Stanley Cup final, and if he can win, you know, the Stanley Cup, it really will change the perception of his career.
Yeah, that is obviously in all sports. It seems like that's the ultimate litmus test on a legacy of a player's. Do they lift that championship trophy at the end of the year? You know, you think about Dan Marino, you think about Tony Romo. It's an interesting perception, but certainly one that Jamie Benn has worked for the past 10 or 11 years, and even for the past 7 or 8 years as captain here in Dallas. But Mike, you know, as we're wrapping up here, just wanted to thank you again so much. We always have a blast bringing you on, bringing the other guys on, getting to talk. And, you know, as you mentioned, there's those, I can't agree more. And the fact that I just miss the little things. I've never actually been in Dallas to cover a Dallas Stars playoff run as a member of the media. I've always been in college or not a member of the media, but certainly miss the little things, including sitting in that media room with you during morning skates and chatting about what we're probably going to see that night and then being totally wrong, as we've been many a time in this 2019-2020 Stars, odd Stars season.
Yes, indeed. That's part of being in the media, is being wrong.
Yep. Hey, but that's what we're paid to do, I guess, is be wrong. Right. You know, get all hyper on our predictions and on our thoughts and then just totally get blindsided. But that's what makes sports fun, as you said. That's why we're enjoying it. Although we're not there in person and live seeing it, we're getting to enjoy it from a different perspective, certainly a unique one. Also, Mike, I saw the Lions signed Adrian Peterson.
I like that. And Barry Sanders tweeted out that he was very happy for that. So, hey, restore the roar.
Hashtag restore the roar. Well, Mike, thanks again so much for joining us. Happy Sunday to you. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying safe and healthy as well. And hope you get just as much of a kick out of this Western Conference final as we're all hoping to get as well.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's always fun to be on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Can't wait. Yep. Yeah, can't wait to have you on again to talk about whatever's coming up next over the next week and a half or 2 weeks. We'll see. Should be a fun time regardless. Dallas Stars and Vegas Golden Knights kicking off the 2020 Western Conference Final tonight at 7 p.m. on NBC Sports. Should be an enthralling series, to say the least, and with plenty of thrills and unpredictable storylines coming along the way. We'll be watching. We'll be back with you on Monday to break down Game 1. Talk through it and see what kind of impact it may have on the rest of the series. Until then, happy Sunday to all of you. Enjoy the game tonight. Hope you're staying well, staying safe and healthy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.